All right. Psalm 34. We are going to start a teaching, the fear of the Lord. Amen. I say, do we ever run out of Psalm 1 topics? The fear of the Lord. Amen. We've not had a teaching like that. I don't think we have any Psalm 1 topic, the fear of the Lord. Do we? Nah. So, it's a good time to start. And I want your heart to, let me say this. The essence of church is for your life to be better. And when I say life, we have said man is a multidimensional being, right? Right? So as you're a spouse to someone, you're a friend to someone, you're a daughter or son to someone, you are a father to someone, a mother to someone, you're a neighbor to someone, you're a colleague to someone, and all of those make up your multidimensional life. Does it make sense? So, you're also a child of God. And that's a big, big part of that life. And so what I'm saying is, the essence of God's word is so that it can make you what he talks about. God's word already paints the believer in a light. He calls him the perfect bride of Christ. Everything God is saying to you is to make you that perfect bride. There are things that will come around on the way to that perfection. I've said no one is perfect. Not you, not me. I'm not in any way perfect. You're not in any way perfect. But you see, in that imperfection, God died, or Jesus died for us, and he gave us his spirit. You see, that spirit itself is the helper, the advantage. And so his word is coming to us tonight. And we're looking at the fear of the Lord, like I said. And utterance is greatly affected by the era. Listen to me. That means what you can get out of a teaching is affected by your heart. I'll say this again. There are things the teacher or the minister, I don't like using the word teacher, but it's fine. The minister, whoever God is using, the vessel at that moment, might not be able to say because you're not ready. Paul will say, while you ought to be teachers, while you ought to be feeding on meat, I still feed you with milk. So, at that moment, the content of the feed is not affected by Paul. It's affected by the hearers. Is it making sense? Alright, good. Jesus will say, I have so many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So, the lack of utterance, or the presence of the same, is not because of the speaker. It's you. Come on, is it making sense? And that's why when you're praying for reception of the word, you pray for yourself first. I pray for myself first. Not for the preacher, really. Because even if the preacher doesn't want to talk, God is the Almighty. He can make him talk. He made the donkey talk. If that was 2026, and he said donkey was talking, you say, Lamba. We have, all these Christians have started again. A donkey is talking. Insta blog will carry it. So do you believe that? All these stupid liars. You know, there's a liar and there's a stupid liar. Amen. I know the difference. Hallelujah. You deal with some people and say, no, you are not a liar. You're a stupid liar. Your lie is another, you know. So, I want you in this series, I hope we can do much before we start preparing for believers meeting, to instill, what I want to instill is the fear of the Lord. Because it's too vital in your Christian journey. And I trust God for your life. Psalm 34, let's get to the word. So have you heard of the fear of the Lord before? Huh? Come on, talk to me. Have you heard of it before? Okay. Verse 1. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's me. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. So God is not against boasting. He's against you boasting in yourself. He says, I'll make my boast in the Lord. That is, I'll say of the things he has done for me. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Magnify the Lord. As though we can make God bigger. Can we make God bigger? Can we make God bigger than he is? Very tricky question. Can we make God bigger than he is? Huh? We say he's higher than the highest. So, can you make him higher again than the highest? So, how do we magnify the Lord? In our sight. Right? That'll be in our own hearts, our perception of Him. He's not saying, oh, what I do can affect how big God is in the earth. He's saying, I can make God a big deal to me. So he says, magnify the Lord with me, exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. So, this is an hack. This is a life hack. He says, the solution or the deliverance from fear is to seek the Lord. While the world may have different solutions and different shortcuts, the Bible is clear. How to get away from all sort of fear, all sort of panic. I remember we had a teaching. I'm not led by the fear of men. Not led by the fear of men. Because fear is a real deal. Fear can come from what you have gone through or what others have even gone through. Sometimes we have not even gone through it ourselves. And we're already living in the fear. Oh, they said that thing happened to my grandmom and my grand aunt. My mom also felt it at some point in her life. So now I'm at that age. And then fear starts to come. You have not even felt anything. You feel so perfect in your body. But there's just a fear of what has happened to other people. But the Bible has a solution. You're delivered from fear. Amen. Yes. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You don't spend your life in fear. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The perfect peace of the Holy Ghost reigns in your heart right now. Amen. Yeah. Peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So, it says, I have sought the Lord and He has delivered me from all my fears. He has delivered me from all my fears. And He will tell you how to seek the Lord. We'll see the solution to deliverance from fear. But we're looking at the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is such a term that people have. We are in verse what now? 4. Alright. Still going. The fear of the Lord is also a misunderstood terminology. I remember I went to preach in Federal College of Education. Is it Federal College of Education now? Oh, yeah. Superb. Some years ago. It's been a long time. 2011. Yeah, 2011 or 2012. I went to preach in Federal College of Education, Oyo. And I must have shared that encounter before. We were praying against witches on campus and all of that. And one of the fellowship presidents, because all the fellowship presidents gathered them. So one of them said, the fear of the Lord will be on this campus. So I already seen the way he was praying. I knew that we're in for a rude shock. You know, I'm not going to describe anybody so I don't look condescending. But there was a way he was praying and there was this accent. So I knew that he was about to say something very nice. So we're going to pray for the fear of the Lord on this campus. That anybody that just sin will die. Ah. Every enemy of the church will die. I first paused prayer. we're using bell. I like using bell. So I said, bagang. Bro, I said, every enemy. Should they die or repent? So fellowship president, you're making a point, sir. And there's this perception that people do not fear the Lord until they hear thunder or a roaring. I've always said it before. Imagine as you're entering the auditorium this evening. On my head, you are seeing fire. And I'm not being burnt. Because that would be nice. Because if I'm being burnt, there's a problem. I like fire, but not being burnt. Amen. Sometimes I would say, fire of the Holy Ghost. The day fire will start. Hope you don't bring a extinguisher. Hallelujah. And you're seeing fire on my head top. I'm not being burnt. And as you're about to sit, the chair said, not here. Chair. The chair said, not here. Move. If they burn, you will not move. Because there's just a fear that grips you that, oh, then you start saying, oh, God is here. God is here. If usher say, stand up, you will stand up. If they say, don't sleep, you don't sleep. Why? Because there appears to be a demonstration of the spectacular. But again, that's not what the fear of the Lord is. Israel tried to mask the fear of the Lord in thunders and screamings and all that, but we want to see what the heart of the Lord is. What is the fear of God?
Amen.
Some people say, I don't like the word, I don't like using the word fear. Can we say, can we walk in the love of God, not the fear of God? I say, calm down. That fear, there's a good fear, there's a bad fear. Amen. It's the same Greek word. So you see that. You see, this is why Greek word cannot be the it of Bible interpretation. Because what, he delivered me from all my fears. And the fear of the Lord is the same Greek word, it's the same Hebrew word. So if you, I'm not saying don't be a student of those languages, they are good. But that's not where the logos is. It makes sense. All right, good. Verse 5. I'm being fast a bit tonight. They looked to him and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. That's us. Amen. Amen. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Can we read verse 7 together? The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Another one. So, wait. Give me 1 minute. Sorry. We've seen one, the fear of the Lord, or what God does, he delivers out of all fears, right? He now says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord. So that means the fear of the Lord can preserve a life. I didn't write this. No denomination put this down. This is the word of God. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. I love the Yoruba. Angel Oluwa roba ye awon ti o beru re ka. Those are verses you use 2 a.m. in the midnight. Amen. They don't really work like that 11 a.m. I'm kidding, no. 2 a.m. See, the angel of the Lord encompasses around those who fear him. Meaning, there is preservation and protection in the fear of the Lord. And I walk in it. My steps are guided. I don't walk in error. I don't run a million miles in the wrong direction. He says, the angel of the Lord. Look at that. They surround those who fear him. Does that remind you of Job? Right? Job? Oh, good. And he delivers them. So deliverance is in the fear of the Lord. Verse 8. Oh, test and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. That word trust in him is actually to fear him too. So one of the ways you fear the Lord is to trust in him. To acknowledge him in all your ways. Verse 9. Acknowledge him in all your ways. That sounds like something we are doing recently. Okay, good, better, best. All right, good. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Now, he's giving you a commandment. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. Another thing. Meaning, those who fear the Lord don't lack. Now, this is very, very serious. Because you can say, Pastor, I fear the Lord and I lack. And that's why we must explain, what does it mean to fear the Lord? You see, God's word is true. I see that's true. He says, the angel of the Lord preserves those who fear the Lord. And those who fear the Lord do not suffer want. They don't suffer want. To double sure what he was saying, verse 10. He says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Does this resonate with you? So he says, it's not about being hardworking. It's not about being strong. The lions are strong. Have you met people who are very hardworking and then they struggle? Not to be immodest about it, not to mock anyone. But being strong doesn't guarantee anything. I don't think we have the strongest person in Nigeria as the president in Nigeria. Averagely, everybody here, when it comes to physical strength, probably beats down the president. But he has a strength beyond beyond physical. You can't even move how many radius near him, I'm not sure. But he's not physically the strongest. So, that your gym. Cancel that subscription. I'm kidding. Alright, so, it says, the young lions can lack. But those who fear the Lord shall not want any good thing. What does it mean to fear the Lord? That's the question. Because he now says in verse 11. Can we verse 11 together? Come, you children. Hear me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. If it can be taught, then it can be learned. So that means we can learn how to fear the Lord. is it not something that just comes to us naturally? No, you can learn how to fear the Lord. We said the fear of the Lord will take away all your fears, right? We said the fear of the Lord will preserve and protect you. Why? Because his angels will encompass around you. Thirdly, the fear of the Lord will, to take away lack and want. That's what I like. That lack one.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We walk in the fear of the Lord.
Do you?
Okay.
Now, there's someone that is going to tell us the fear of the Lord much, much better. What is the fear of the Lord? It means to reverence him. He already mentions to you. He mentions to seek him. He said those who seek the Lord. He says those who trust the Lord. He mentions magnify the Lord. He's telling you the elements of the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is not some mysterious thundering. It's not God is going to kill someone. Some people live in that perpetual fear of, oh, you know, pastor, it's because you don't know what I'm doing. You don't know who I am. You don't know my heart. 7 years ago, I was into this. I'm higher than the most high. When I take loud, I take loud, and I'm very loud, like Monsignor. You know, I'm into this, I'm into that. Maybe God is punishing me for it. And that's what they interpret as the fear of the Lord. No. You see, God is not interested in punishing anyone. I've told you before, the story of that prodigal son was more about the father than the son. The real person who was prodigal is the father. You come to me. I was joking with Broshola on, was it Saturday? So we went somewhere and I was talking about the prodigal father. Alright. I call it the parable of the prodigal father. You come to me, say, Daddy, give me my part of the inheritance. That's from Nepo Baby though. Because your father before say, which inheritance we get? Is it this TV, this old TV? Say, give me my lot. And he collected it. Then he went to a faraway land. Then he and the next of kin, Oble. And he spent everything. Then he said, I can make it back. I'm from a wealthy background. I can make it back. So he started working. Then he knew that the race is not for the strong or for the hard working. At some point he was eating pig's food. Then he went back home. What are you expecting as an African child? Just tell me your expectation. Someone that bullied his way to collect inheritance. You know that what the entire family is praying for is that is I should see Shege Banza. Shege is different from Shege Banza. If Shege Banza catch you, if I should be saying, I said it. You will not come back to me, okay? Shege has already finished. Your eyes have seen. Now, what did the father do? He threw a party. Meaning extra spending. Who is the truly, prodigal means to waste. Who truly wasted things? The son or the father? You have given someone his inheritance. Then you see we're coming back. Then you say, no, you can be a part of the family. That is God for you. So the fear of the Lord cannot mean punishment. He's a prodigal father. He's the one that leaves 99 and goes chasing after one. He can't punish you with things. The fear of the Lord, he explains the elements to seek the Lord. Meaning, you know, Proverbs says, in Proverbs 3:5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Meaning you are heart led, not head led. You're not led from your head, you are led from your heart. We said the leading of God is what? Internal. Right? Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Then he says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with where? Your feelings. Bears witness with our. So God's Spirit communicates to where? My spirit. I am internally led. Away from the noise, away from the intellect, away from facts. It leads me beyond facts. It leads me beyond trends. It leads me beyond arts. I am led by the Spirit of God. So Proverbs will say, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now the mistake of the average person is that we acknowledge him, but in the hard things. When the rubber hits the road, and it looks like the bats are against the wall, then we now call on Jesus. When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. That's because you feel, I can't do it anymore. But what is God's plan? Acknowledge me in all your ways. Looks like the simple thing. Looks like the thing I have figured out already. He says, acknowledge him. You see, that simple act of acknowledging him is the fear of God. We are in a world where those kind of things are mocked. If you tell someone, let me pray about it, they can tell you, are you a baby? At this day, do people still do that? What's this new trend that they say? Let us normalize. Now, let us normalize saying, I want to go and pray about it. Does it sound weird? It should not sound weird to you as a Christian. I know you have waited for the opportunity all your life. But pray about it. You see, you are a child of God. You know his voice. You are not confused. You know his voice. See, I told you, I said, it is easier for you to hear God's voice than for you to hear the devil. Because his spirit bears witness with your spirit. Is it the devil's voice? It's strange. You can know it easily. I told you on Sunday, right? He says he masked himself as an angel of light. Meaning he will not come to you as poison. He will not come to you in a red suit. Hey, Jesus. I'm wearing red. The devil is not going to come to you in a red suit with on. If you see that one, you will say, I bind you. It's not going to come that. I told you, poison is not served in a poison container. So how to recognize the devil? Something that looks like light, but it's weird. It sounds like light. It looks like light. But there's just something awkward about it. Because, see, you are a child of God. It's easy for you to know his voice. If you hear your parents' voice, your parents' voice and a complete stranger, you are behind the wall. You are behind a wall. And your mom is talking. There's someone you don't know is talking. Which one is easier to recognize? Blood is thicker. Water is thicker. Well, let's leave that. Because these days they are just debunking different kind of idioms. I don't know. It says the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. That's actually the full quote. The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So it's actually the reverse of what we say. Because when we say blood is thicker than water, we are saying family is stronger. But the family is actually the water of the womb. So he's saying that when you make a covenant with someone, that blood of covenant is thicker than whatever you share with family. I know I've spoiled it. He said curiosity kills the cat. Or curiosity killed the cat. But that's not the fool. Curiosity killed the cat, but the answer woke him up. So the idiom is actually not to debunk or to play down curiosity. It's to make you more curious. Well, it's fine. I'm not spoiling your childhood. Just continue. Let the curiosity kill the cat. Pata pata, bury the cat. Where are we? I said it's easier for you to hear your father's voice. And whether you like it or not, you are born again. Whether you feel like it or not, the day you said yes to his message, you still sang Yahweh today, you are born again. Bro, you are God's child. Even if it's 749,000 last born, you are God's child. Amen. You have a lot in his kingdom. You have a part in his kingdom. His DNA is in you. You recognize his voice. You know what Jesus said in John 10? He said, see, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't need to consult with the sheep. He said, they know it. What drowns his voice is the noise. Sometimes what drowns his voice is too much fact, too much news, too much, you have too much details, you are not acknowledging him. And you see that little step of just saying, Father, I'm going out today. Show me your light. Help me. There are times, I have told you before, if all you do is speak in tongues, you are already in the wrong. I'm not saying speaking in tongues is not good. You know I'm the one now. I'm saying, there are times you just say simple prayers. If you cannot say it simply, you don't know what you are saying. You are not saved. You are saved. Let me contradict myself. How can you not know how to pray in your formal tongue? So every time you want to pray for direction, you just can't say, we take a series on prayer soon. It's the same with people that just do that. It's every time you want to pray. Every time. What happened? We just started prayer and now we just call prayer point now. Pray for pastor. Are you sure you are praying or it just looks like prayer. Because they are two different things. Oga, pray. This prayer does not require pray for pastor. It's me. When it's not like a demon is in me, why are you doing like this? Just say, preserve him. Oh. Preserve him. Because we're in a generation where we just do things that look like it. And the real substance is getting lost. We have Christians who can't pray in English. You cover it up with spirituality of tongues. But you can't pray because you don't know the scriptures. How did we get here? We'll take a season of prayer soon. We said, that's acknowledging God. As simple as, I wanted to defend my project when I was in university. The day I was going to defend my project. Now, me personally, I don't really care like that. I was showing, what's the eyes they would do? Give me a C. You can't tell me to come and write project. Nobody has written project. Project that you passed, that we have printed. Do you know how much I printed? So we submitted and all of that. So, and as confident as I can be when it comes to talking to people, I just said a word. God is in your hands. Help me. Not like I'm telling God to help me deliver it. I can't talk to these people. He's not my lecturers. I saw them for many years. Are they going to change overnight? I don't know how you people write exams. And you begin to see people as... you've seen the same faces for 5 years, 6 years. Suddenly, are they going to turn to monsters? No. But you see, even with that confidence, just acknowledging. It's not until you are, not you in the name of Jesus, it's not until someone is in a bus and the brakes are failed. That's when you now know that people know God. Do. Even the atheists go say, Jesus, I also be like... Because you atheist. You say, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy. I was in a flight some years ago, and it was just turbulence. It's not no crash. Just a bit of shaky. If you see scriptures, bro, me is a very pastor. I do not know scriptures like that too. If you hear scriptures. Yeah, those who dwell in the secret place of Musa. There's one man like that. He's a bit chubby. Hey. When he was shaking, those who dwell in the secret place of Musa. And as I was saying, he was looking at his belt. And they announced, saying, but when the same people get down, you see, there's no acknowledgement. When last did you say, thank you, Jesus? When last did it come to your reasoning that he did it? Very well, I possessed something, and I loved it. Very beautiful admonition. And he said, thank you, Jesus, for the things you have saved me from that I knew nothing about. And I'm giving you credit. I know I've said it before. But take it. Take your credit. So, you know, then let's just say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I know things are not as perfect as you have wanted them to be. You had this dream in your head and all that. Oh, my baby, sorry. Thank you, Jesus, for where I am. Thank you. I'm better than I was yesterday. Yeah, thank you. I see your hand. I see you. I see how you are quieting the noise in me. I see how you are reassuring me. I know you help me further. I know you help me further. See, as simple. Oh, but pastor, I've not paid my rent. The rent is due. Rent is in 2 months. Thank you, Jesus. I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord. And when you want to ask. You want to ask for rent from God, you're asking in tongues. No man understands. Are you sure you have interpreted that tongues to know that it's rent you're asking for? You're asking for edification of your spirit, for more discipleship. I'm not saying discipleship is bad, but you need rent. Why not just ask God and say, Father, Lord, if you want to move letter, take the letter. Say, God, this is letter. It's not the letter to Corinth. They want to take me out of this house. But I trust your provision. I trust you for ideas. I trust you for opportunities. I trust you for provisions. I know you bring people my way. I know you bring ideas, my opportunities. I know I will not lack any good thing. You see, that acknowledgement is the fear of the Lord. You can't live like a godless person. One day to come, very soon, all of creation will bow before him. It's surely to happen. The Bible says, as the waters cover the sea, the earth shall be covered with the glory of God. I was telling prophet, was it you and Broadwell? I was telling the other day. He said, as the waters cover the sea, that surely is going to happen. He said, the discipleship class on Friday. Okay. As the waters cover the sea, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. It's not negotiable. It will happen. It's about when.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, we said the fear of the Lord is to reverence Him. So, we said, let's look at Psalm 34 again. What are the elements of the fear of the Lord? Verse 1, I will bless Him. Verse 2, I will boast in the Lord. So, you're already seeing how to fear the Lord. It's not a vague concept. I'll bless the Lord. That means, to bless the Lord means, I will speak well of the Lord. Verse 2, I will make my boast in the Lord. Verse 3, I will magnify and exalt His name. Meaning, when people are belittling Him, when people are saying the name was there, or this Christian thing, I will say, no, Jesus this, Jesus that. Amen. And say, leave me with my Jesus. You know that song? Jesus that I am is enough for... Leave me with that Jesus. If by now, someone calling you Spirit Coco is still affecting you, in 2026, come on. I was in GS2 when they were calling me SU, and I embraced it. In fact, that was when I said I will be putting my shorts up at my navel. That SU, you will see it. And I was catching people's girlfriend. I was catching. You write letter. I say, he will not marry you. Just three. He's a liar. He spoke to Nika yesterday. Then they will gather. They will say, they will beat me after school. And you know, the righteous must know how to run. Amen. So the righteous, once I see them, I will ask my friend, I mean, where did he pass? I'll pass the other way, even if it's longer to get home. But I felt like that was how I was just helping God for their lives. Amen. I should have left them. Hallelujah. I should have just preached to them. But when I preach to them, I preach hell straight. And I always felt like hell was sweeter to preach than heaven. People don't respect heaven that time. Hell. Eh? You know how many souls I got saved from hell? Once I mention hell like this, they start crying. Sister Moyo, are you not one of them? Okay, she's not here. She's one of them. Hell, mofun. Mo draw a fire. You will be born. But why? You are in one of those classes. I have board that used to draw a hello. I'll tell you that. You see this, you know, it's been born for 2,000 years. This one, you can see it's bigger. 2.5. This long one, that's my problem. It burns for 4,000 years. And I'll calculate. God did not tell me. Let me just. And I say, when they are done burning, so that they will not have hope, I'll say they will resurrect again and reborn. So people just start crying. I say, then there's this song, Mufaye Ati Femi Fun. See, I fear the Lord. I love His word. So, the fear of the Lord, to exalt Him, that means you can make Him bigger in your eyes. I'll start to close soon. Verse 4, to seek the Lord. Those are the elements of the fear of the Lord. So, it's not a vague concept. Say, I fear the Lord. To seek the Lord. That simple, simple reverence. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'll start to close on this. Are you learning something? Ecclesiastes, I finally have to pronounce that book. If you can help me. Ecclesiastes. Yeah, chapter 12. But David, pronounce it. I need to hear your version. I'm very sure it will be hilarious. Chapter 12. Now, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. If there's one you can listen to, I think it's Solomon. I say, wait, before you judge him. Wait. I know you're about to judge him and say, 700 wives. God said, till Christ, there was no man as wise as Solomon. God gave him. Forget every other thing he did. God's wisdom is in Solomon's mouth. And you can see that evidence from Proverbs to Ecclesiastes. He asked for wisdom when he could have asked for money. He asked for wisdom when he could have asked for the head of his enemies. You see, he just proved Jesus' theory right. To him that asks, more will be given. He had wisdom. He had enough wisdom to ask for wisdom. If everything in your life revolves around money, something's already wrong with your value system. You need to work on it. Life is more precious than money. Let me say this. You see, this life you're living is the shortest part of your eternity. If you like, live till 150 years old is the shortest part of your existence. Eternity is longer than now. And it's in our heart. Etched in our heart. This is the shortest part of your existence. It can't be revolved in and around money. Why not? Don't you have friends, good friends? Some of the gifts you can ask for. Ask God for the gifts of good friends. Are you listening to me? Just ask God. He will bring them your way. Good friends. One of the things I thank the Lord for in my life. Good friends. The gifts of good friends. Good relationships. People that you can talk to. Call. It's very important in life. It's more than money. One day, everything you have worked for, all your salary, everything, you will not be able to spend it. And next of kin, you cannot really bank on them. Amen. Next of kin can... if Brother David is your next of kin. Brother David is your... Bro, he will kin the next. That's the next of kin. Remember, there was one boy like that in Ibadan then. His father passed on. That. He was so eager that they should call the lawyer. He was, I call him a lawyer now. Every time we are playing ball, I want to be a lawyer. I was just at some point that, now you kidding, man? Because this guy was so interested. And when they eventually gave him everything they were going to give him, 3 months or 4 months, he has sold half of it. The man worked all his life. The record added that the man was born poor into a poor family. He was farming. He was not able to go to school. He started secondary school at the age of about 30 something. The father that worked for everything was able to get it. That man eventually did all of that work, and the next of kin sold it in 3 months. Imagine that was all he had. Imagine that was all that man worked for. Imagine there is no investment in his eternity. Life is more than now. This is the shortest part of your journey. Enjoy it. Magnify him. Fear him. Fear the one whose gravity puts your feet on the ground. Fear him. Solomon says in Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, don't forget we're talking about the fear of the Lord, right? We said the fear of the Lord. What are the elements of the fear of the Lord that you can remember? I'll bless him. I'll boast in him. I'll magnify and exalt him. I'll seek him. Alright? Okay? Good. You are a good student. Clap for yourself. Yeah, clap now. What's clap in Igbo? Akaya. Hey! Hey, Sajosi. Okay, I say Igbo as how? Interpretation of tongues. What did you call it? Kwaka. As how? Kwaka. Any Hausa? Kwaki. Alright, so. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't know nothing until you fear him. You see, the reverence for God opens the door to knowledge. True knowledge starts with reverencing God. I say it this way. There are things we will never know until our knees are bowed. Jesus puts it this way. He doesn't cast his spells before swine. The treasure of God's word is for those who will bow their knees in reverence. The fear of the Lord is where your knowledge starts. The day you start seeing God in his true light, watch the kind of revelation knowledge that comes to you. When we say revelation knowledge, it's not just for preaching. No. Because sometimes when we say revelation knowledge, the only thing that comes to us is preaching and teaching. Oh, the depth. That's not just revelation knowledge. It's way beyond that. Amen. But the fear of the Lord opens the door. Opens the door to seeing God in his true light. We don't know nothing of who God really is yet. We can only worship and magnify him on what we know right now. But if God opens himself up to you, I don't think your knees will be able to stand. I think you will go on your knees. That's why it's funny when we worship and then we say, you are Yahweh. Hey, hope I'm a good singer. You are Yahweh. And we go, you. Angels cannot afford that luxury. They can't. They are in front of glory. I say in front. I could say sin. Amen. It's not really like that. Ordinary angel appeared to John in the island of Patmos. And John bowed. John the beloved, who has seen Jesus face to face. Who rested on the chest of Jesus. Rested on the chest of God. Let's put it like that. Who had seen God, eating with God. Saw an angel in true light. And he fell. And he said, don't kill me. If you see God, There's an old song I like. I don't know how many of us know. I think Casting Crowns. Surrounded by His glory, what will my heart feel when I stand before You, Jesus? Prophet, you know the song? What's that? I can only imagine. Go listen to it. Casting Crowns. Eh? Casting Crowns. Can only imagine. Beautiful song. Go and listen to it. Oh, call it over, bro. Oh, shut the door. Nigga, bro. Can only imagine. All right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9. Oh, I need to round up now. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. That means understanding God doesn't start with intelligence. It starts with reverence. Understanding God doesn't start with intelligence. It starts with reverence. If you want to know more about God, you've been a Christian for so number of years, but you don't really feel God like that. What made Paul want to give his life? What made Peter say, we will die on this cause? What made Stephen? They were stoning him and he didn't renounce. He said, no worry. Stone me. There's a glory ahead. Paul says to die is gain. Do you want a man as sin to say, if I live, it's for you. It's for Christ. To die is better. That's why when you begin to know God, death or the fear of death, nah, come on. Nothing should make you fear it. If you have seen Him in His glory, you want to see Him now. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge of the Holy One. You will not understand Him until you reverence Him. That's why sometimes it might not make sense to people who are not in Christ. You do something, you say something, and someone say, upside down, right? What you are doing is upside down. How did Daniel reject the king's food? Doesn't make sense. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The knowledge of the holy is in reverencing Him. When you begin to magnify Him and revere Him, you begin to see God in a separate light, in a new light. And angels will compass around you and you will not lack any good thing. Ecclesiastes 12. I'll close on this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Someone say, I don't always believe this is your closing until they play keyboard. Volume. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 10. Look at the Bibles. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written that was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise as gods, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now, he's saying the words of the wise, what he's about to say, can hold your life together. That's what he's saying. Count verse 12 together. And 13. Want to go? And further, by this, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13 is important. Let's go. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Wait, what's the whole matter? Everything Solomon has been preaching since Proverbs. He says, the wisdom God gave me, this is the summary. This is the summary of everything God told me. What is it? Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole purpose of man. This is the duty of man. He's going to ask you, what is my purpose on the earth? Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Fear God. And do what He says. Sought Him. Seek Him, rather. Exalt and magnify. Make your boast in Him. Bless Him. Say wonderful things about Him. He says, this is the purpose of man. So if you don't know why you are made, why God created you, is to fear Him. The conclusion of everything is that we must honor and respect God. We honor and respect humans. If the governor were coming to your house today, forget governor, local government chairman, you clean everywhere, you sort everywhere, you don't want to appear in a particular way. Do you clean your heart the same way? The King of Glory is coming. At some point in a man's life, You must ask yourself, what am I doing? Let me close sermon notes. It gets to a point you must ask yourself, am I wasting my time? The duty of man is to honor him. Why am I playing it? You can't play God. Why not seek to just know him? There is something they saw. John saw that city. He did. Peter saw it. Stephen saw it. Paul saw it. There is something they saw that it appears we are not seeing this generation. Someone asked me some years ago, and I think I shared it, that why is it that it looks like the kind of miracles they saw, Elijah with the chariot, Enoch was never seen, Moses' body on the hill, the Red Sea into two, 40 years of God feeding them and the miraculous. Now, why is it that we don't really see that in this generation, that what we just see is healing? Not to, that nobody is believing healing. That what we just see is healing, and even the healing that I said, because we don't fear God the way they feared him. So many Christians, God is still just that. I'm a Christian because I'm not a Muslim. I'm a Christian because that's what they told me. They said, I've been in our family. Now church where they go. At some point in your life, it has to go beyond what was handed over to you. You must find him. Oh, and he's precious. Oh, he's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beyond the songs. It's beyond the sermons. His presence in your life changes everything. It's beyond it. And guess what? He wants to show you himself. He wants to show you. But is your heart open? Don't forget, when Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, he said, I will what? Come to him and dine with him and eat with me, right? He was talking to the church. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. It's in the book of Revelation. He was talking to one of the seven churches, right? He said, I stand at the door. That means the fact that we are in church sometimes doesn't even mean that Jesus is there. He's still standing at the door of a church and he's saying, I'm knocking. If he lets me in, how many services did we not let him in? We call on his name, but then celebrant is absent. We do all sort of conferences and all sort of seminars and all sort of Bible teachings. But do we know him? I must find him. It's not sudden. It's a journey that takes all your life. But it's beautiful. And when you find him, he's beyond the miracles. He's beyond your greatest aspirations. You wake up every day and you are satisfied because you still have him. That's true Christianity. But the fear of the Lord opens the door. Opens the door to understanding. It says the knowledge of the Holy One is in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The knowledge of the Holy is in the fear of the Lord. Do you fear him? There are things I don't say because, you know, his spirit is in me and acknowledge his presence. There are places I don't go because, not because I'm restricted. There are things I'm restricted from. I'm not a free man. I'm only as free as he wants me to be. There's not such thing as true freedom. As
complete 100% freedom. No. Any freedom that allows a child to run into the ocean is not freedom. You say, my 4-year-old is free. Free to do anything. And is running to the ocean. Is that freedom? Or your responsibility? And God has placed us in his freedom. But his freedom has fences. It has limits. You shall freely eat of every tree in the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good. His freedom has limits. And he's calling you into fellowship. He's calling me deeper. Mortal man, awesome God. He's calling me to fellowship. He wants you to know him. But that step starts with the fear of the Lord. Is the beginning of the knowledge of the holy. I don't want you to see him one day and then realize you knew nothing about him. That's why when we sing, you're not just singing. We sang a song the other time. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. The way it was sounding to me, I couldn't remember that was the way it was sounding to you. We have a responsibility to know him. Can you bow your heart this evening? He said, if we call to him, he will answer us. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me yourself. Help me to find you, to see you, to reverence you, to revere you all my life. I don't believe to you. I don't believe to you. I see. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know of the power that snatched you from the grave. I want to know you. Regardless of what people are saying, I want that fellowship with you, Lord Jesus. What Peter saw, what Paul saw, what Stephen saw, what Moses saw, that after all those miracles, he now says, show me your glory. There's something they saw. I want to see it. There's something they felt. I want to feel it. Bring me to my knees, Lord. Here I am. Arms open wide, Lord Jesus. Bring me to my knees. May I never lose the wonder that is you. I revere your word. I honor your word. I honor your spirit. I honor your places. I honor your things. And I will see you in a greater light.